Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. How many have discovered from your personal experience that Jesus is a dependable God? Can I prophesy into your life and announce to you this morning that He's not about to fail you? He is not about to disappoint you. He is not about to disappear out of your life and your situation. He's going to come through for you. And this year, you're going to have a series of victories, a series of breakthroughs, a series of great things that will overwhelm you. Clap your hands and bless the name of the dependable Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Glory be to God. Every hand lifted to the Lord. your hands to the Lord, tell him, we need you. Mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Come on and clap your hands unto the Lord. He's worthy. God bless you. You may be seated. Colossians chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 7. For some weeks now, we've been looking at the subject, being rooted in Christ Jesus, what it actually means. The Bible says from verse 1 of Colossians chapter 2, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Verse 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Now, the Bible gives a directive, an encouragement, and an instruction here. When it says, let your roots grow down into Him. And obviously, the Him here is referring to Christ Jesus. Is that not so? So let your roots grow down into Him means you must be rooted in Christ. So for so many weeks, we looked at what it means to be rooted in Christ. Number one, it means Christ is your source. Number two, it means Christ is your foundation and cornerstone. Number three, it means Christ is the center and focus of our lives. Number four, it means that Christ is your nourishment and sustenance. Five, Christ is the influence behind your words and deeds. Number six, it means the word of God dwells richly in you. Number seven, it means you know Christ and you have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Number eight, it means you desire and strive to obey Christ. Number nine, it means you walk in newness of life. And number 10, it means you walk in love. Do you have all of that in your notes? All right. We thank God for that. Now, I want to move on today, still talking about being rooted in Christ. And today, I want to start sharing with you on signs of a believer rooted in Christ. Signs of a believer rooted in Christ. Amen. Signs of a believer rooted in Christ. May I remind you that our theme for this year is rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. All right? So keep that at the back of your mind. Now, if we are talking about signs of a believer rooted in Christ, what it suggests is that it is possible to have a believer who is not rooted in Christ. And in one of my earlier submissions, I showed you that there are so many other things that you can be rooted in, but which do not translate into being rooted in Christ. Is that not so? And now we want to ask ourselves, what are some of the signs that point to the fact that a believer is actually rooted in Christ? I looked out for different meanings of the word sign or signs. I saw a number of them. But actually, the one that appealed to me the most, and I think it best suits the sermon, is this one. Signs are visible indicators of an invisible reality. Signs are visible indicators of an invisible reality. Signs are visible indicators of an invisible reality. Have you seen malaria before? Where did you see him? Where did you meet him? What is his height? She says she has seen malaria before. Of course, you've not seen malaria before. But how do you know you have malaria? From the signs, such as, or symptoms, high fever, bitterness, a sour taste in your mouth, what less? Loss of appetite, bodily pains and aches, nausea, and there are a number of them. So all these signs you mentioned are visible indicators of an invisible reality, because you can't see malaria, but it is real. Is that not so? Let me give you another illustration. A little over a month ago, I killed a mouse in my kitchen. I didn't kill it with a steak or a machete or anything like that. I used rat poison. Now, for a long time, I believe for more than a year, there were indications that there was some creature in the kitchen that was eating away, especially at our ripe plantain. My son, who is 22 years old today with his sister, you can give him ripe plantain and beans every day, and that gentleman will eat it happily. Amazing. So because of him, there's almost always ripe plantain in the house. And many times we go into the kitchen and you look at the plantain. Now, I didn't want to accept that it was a mouse, because I'm asking myself, how did the mouse get in here? where could it have passed? I don't have any torn nets. There are no open spaces under my door. So where did the mouse, you know, pass to enter the house? And I've been telling my wife that she's the one who brought the mouse into the house. Why? Because we noticed that there was a time when there were mice in her car. I'm sure from her workplace. And I don't know when one of them decided to hitch a ride in her back and enter our home. And I didn't want to accept it. So I told myself that, could it be wall geckos? Do wall geckos eat plantain? So we were always seeing the signs. There were visible indications. Until one fine morning, I went to grab something from the fridge. And then I saw a sudden flash from under the fridge into the kitchen. Then I said, there is a mouse in this house. And later on, it was confirmed. Gifty came to spend some days with us. And I think she was getting some plantain. And the mouse jumped from under the plantain and ran to hide. So now, that invisible reality had now become visible. But till then, the only thing that could tell us of the presence of something were the visible indicators. I organized some rat poison. The first time it didn't work, but the second time we got it. I was there when I was informed that the mouse is dead. So I went happily to look at it. It had grown fat, eating into my account. So I organized a funeral for it. And we lived happily ever after. Clap your hands unto the Lord. So here again, there was an invisible reality up to a point, that there was a creature in here, until we finally saw it and we killed it. The only things that pointed to it were the visible indicators. Is that easy to understand? Now, how do we relate all of that to a Christian? Remember that the Bible uses the imagery of a tree to describe a Christian. And a tree has roots. And I've explained to you that a lot of things to do with the tree depend on its roots and where they are planted. But the thing is this, you usually won't see the roots of a tree. So how would you know what the tree is rooted in? It is the appearance of certain things above the ground, which are the visible indicators, that will let you have an understanding of the invisible reality of the roots of the tree as it is planted in the ground. Is that easy to understand? So when it comes to the Christian faith also, for a believer who is truly rooted in Christ, there are certain signs that will naturally appear in your life. Once you see those signs, then you have a fair idea that the believer you're dealing with is a believer who is rooted in Christ. What are some of these signs? Number one, a believer rooted in Christ stands firm during trials. A believer rooted in Christ stands firm during trials or in trials. That's one of the signs. A believer rooted in Christ stands firm during trials. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25 from the New King James Version. Matthew 7, 24 to 25. Bible says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then look at what happened after the wise man built his house. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and and beat on that house. That means that the house came under extreme pressure and difficulties. And the Bible says, and it did not fall. Now, why did it not fall? What is the answer? For it was founded on the rock. It was because of where it was planted. It was because of where it was established. It was because of where it was built. And because it had a solid base, even though it came under a lot of stress and came under a lot of pressure, it did not fall. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Colossians 1, 21 to 23. And you, who once was alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ's death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Then it continues, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So, take note of that. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. When you give your life to Jesus, positionally, you are holy and you are blameless and you are above reproach in his sight, because God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that you and I can become the righteousness of God in him. So positionally, that's who you are. But beyond that, you need to experientially manifest in your life as a Christian that holiness, that blamelessness, that above reproach lifestyle. That's why he's saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, then it talks about being grounded and steadfast and are not moved away. It suggests that there are some things that will attempt to move you. He will not be talking about this if there was no such threat. And there are things that can attempt to move you out of Christ, out of the faith, to uproot you and dislodge you from him. And he says we should be grounded and steadfast, and we should not move away, or are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It means that something comes in every now and again to try and move you away from Christ. So in the first scripture we looked at, it talks about how the house is built on a rock, and the rain came. So something tried to move the house. Something tried to pull the house down. But this house resisted it and stood. Why? Because of what it was planted on, where it was grounded. Another scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Now look at what he says. And will not fear when heat comes. More pressure. More difficulties. More stress. More trials. But its leaf will be green. It continues and says, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. More issues, more stress, more pressure. It says, nor will cease from yielding fruit. This is one of the scriptures that brings out that imagery of the believer as a tree. And it's saying that that believer is like a tree planted by the river. Its roots are finding its way by the river bank. And it talks about things that will come up against that tree. Heat, drought. But even though these things come, the believer is not moved. The believer is not dislodged. He remains planted. and it doesn't cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this so many times before, but I'm going to repeat it today. I wish I can tell you that the Christian life is a problem-free, stress-free, trial-free, difficulty-free life. I wish earnestly that I can tell you that. But I will be lying to you if I were to give you that impression. And if any pastor gives you that impression, let it be known unto you that he is deceiving you. The Christian life is a great life. I wouldn't exchange it for any other life. My life has never been the same ever since I met Jesus. And I cannot imagine any other life outside him. But the truth is that this life, for as long as we remain under the sun and in this imperfect world, we are going to have trials. We are going to have struggles. We will have difficulties. Challenges will come up against us. We will be disappointed sometimes. We will be frustrated sometimes. And I doubt if there is anybody here who hasn't had his or her fair share of some of these trials in this life. So we cannot wish them away. We cannot deceive ourselves that they are not there. They are there. And Jesus himself told us that if any man will come after me, Matthew 16:24, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And the cross is a symbol of suffering, shame, pain, rejection, and betrayal. Hallelujah. So a believer will have his or her fair share of these trials and vicissitudes of life. You will have them, no matter how good you are. Because bad things have a way of happening to good people. No matter how principled you are, no matter how decent you are, you will have your trials. You will have your moments of difficulty, and challenges will come up against you. But if after you are confronted by all these things, the rain comes, the floods rise, the winds blow vehemently against you, you are still found standing, then it is an indication, a visible indication, that you are actually rooted in Christ. So show me a believer who is being through so many difficult things, but he's still standing at the end of the day. He looks battered, beaten, worn out, and he's bent, but he's not broken. He is bent, though. As he's coming, you can see that he's bent. Bent. Hope is lost if he were to be broken. Because when it's broken in a certain way, it's next to impossible to fix it. He's bent, but he's not broken. Try not to write off people in this life, what? And certainly don't write yourself off. I mean, you may have messed up big time, done all kinds of abominable things. The world has written you off. Your family has written you off. Your friends have written you off. Do not write yourself off, because guess what? God never writes you off. God never writes you off. And I've said this to you before. that thing that we call failure is not the falling down. That's not failure. It is the falling down and staying down. Now you have called for them to bring your pillow, your sleeping cloth. And then what else? Blankets. You are falling down. And of course, you are staying down. So the falling down is not the failure. It is the staying down and refusing to move. That's what it is. And this year, God is going to be good to you. God is going to smile on you. God is going to bless you. God is going to show up strong on your behalf. But in the course of it, you may meet some trials. You may encounter some delays. I think that for some, that is the most difficult trial for them, the delay. Echechon. Echechon. It's like, why is God delayed? What more does he want me to do? Which kind of prayer should I pray? Should I pray? What style? What position? What bank? What more does he want from me before he moves and answers? For some, the delay, that's your trial. And it will test you so. And you come under pressure. I want to marry. Me too. I want them to marry me and call him Mrs. And no correct person is coming. And you come under pressure. Sometimes the pressure will come from even your own parents. Okay? They will tell you, go and sleep with this person. Have a child. And force him. If you have a child, it will force him to marry you. Then this shame and reproach will be taken off this family. Pressure. Sometimes you come under pressure to walk out of your marriage. I don't pass judgment on anybody who divorces, because it is the one who is in the soup who appreciates how hot it is. Yeah. So it's not my place to do anything like that. I know what the Bible says. I know my stance on that and everything. And sometimes you go through things in the marriage that are putting pressure on you. And let me jump out of this thing. And the truth is, I can't blame you. I can't blame you, because what you are describing is quite wild. Take something else to say that higher shape. I want to give it another chance. I prayed, sir, I fasted, sir, but the thing hasn't worked. But I'll still try, God. And I'm going to stay in there. Looking for a job for some time now. The job is not coming. Now you have become the kind of person that they describe about Yobo. Right? So that means that everybody will know about it, because every time you are begging, every time you are asking for favors, you've lost a certain dignity. Look, A man's dignity is one of his most precious commodities. Dignity, to be able to move about with dignity, it's priceless. But you've lost it all. Because you have to, because if you follow dignity, you eat. If you follow it, so now you've been reduced to a beggar. And then now the pressure comes. Let's go into fraud. Let's do these Sakawa things. What's that? Let's move into 419 things. Young lady, they say you are wasting it. You are wasting it. You have the figure. You have the face. You have the body. What are you waiting for? The sizes are all good, all over. You are wasting it. You just have to go and stand at the place and I'll show you. These guys around, they are looking for side chicks. Go on home. Yanya unwe juma. Ma nyamanko ye mao. Ati. Pressure. Somebody say pressure. I stumbled upon a little reel. A young lady was describing something that happened to her. She came from a very poor background, but her roommate was very rich. And it was the roommate who sustained her all through their university days. She had a lot of money. The roommate will have a lot of provisions and stuff like that. She would not eat. She was the one who was enjoying. One day she told the roommate, "Chai, whatever you are doing, show me the way." Yes. What is it? What are you doing that is giving you all these things? The roommate said, "You really want to know?" He said, "I'll show you." He said, "Give me your details, passport, the pictures, everything. I'm going to organize a passport for you." The passport was organized. Then she told him, "I'm traveling with you to Dubai." She was excited. "God bless you. God bless you. May nyawanka. May you thank God bless you. God bless you." Because who was ever going to fly her out? So to Dubai, they went. Checked into one of the top class hotels. The first few days, it was chilling. Sightseeing everywhere. Then one of the days said that we are going for a very important meeting, so dress up. She went to wear skirt suit. Her friend came and said, "What are you wearing? Go and change. Are you going to do what? Are you going to church or what? Go and change it." Well, you know, something that is exposes things, reveals things, low at all the right places. She said, "Hey, what is going on?" She went to change. And they went to some place. The lady went to intro and went to meet some of these Arab sheikhs and all of that. Said, "These are my partners. I work with them." Partners or partners. After a while, showed her a room. When she did her, so took her to her and said, Undress. Why should I undress? She said, "Undress, I'm coming." Her friend went and came back. She was sitting on the bed still and said, "Hey, I said undress." Took off her dress. She was there when three black men also came naked. Did everything they wanted to do with her. Then these sheikhs also came into the room to watch the whole scene. After everything, she told her friend, "You take me back. To go back to that, because this is not what I look at." A point I stopped watching. because I don't like stories like that. There's a way they affect me. I don't like it. So I don't know how the whole thing ended. But there are things that will put you under a lot of pressure. That's why I'm saying that if you are really rooted in Christ, the pressure will come, the trials will come, the disappointments will come. Your husband may disappoint you, your wife may disappoint you, your boss may disappoint you, your pastor may disappoint you. It may come, oh, these things will come. But you must tell yourself that this my light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why I look not to the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Tell yourself that. Listen, weeping will endure for a night, but joy, somebody's joy is coming. Whatever the pressure, don't bend, don't yield, don't compromise. Stay rooted and grounded in Him. He will come through for you. He will. He will. He will. And I don't know whoever is listening to me today, who is perhaps the reason why I've gone on and on. I mean, by now I should have been on sign 4. I've just stayed here for a long time. You see, don't be angry when it looks like we are belaboring a point. There are many things that I say when I'm preaching. I did not rehearse it. What? You think that I write down everything and rehearse and chew everything? That's not how we do it. There are some things as I'm speaking, it's almost like a picture. Things are just revealed to me. Things have dropped into my heart and my spirit. I may not know your name. I don't have Pastor James' ability song. I see things, but not in that way. So I don't know who you are and why I've gone on and on and on about this. But I want to say to you that you are still on God's agenda. I can see a list of things to do. Your name is on that list. And there are things that God has determined to do in your life. So don't bend. Don't yield. Don't move away. Don't leave. Don't walk out of the faith. Yes, the betrayal was painful. The rejection was severe. The disappointment was intense. But don't let that take you away. Going to see you through, and you'll make things beautiful and glorious again. We're going to continue next week, Sunday. Put your hands together for Jesus, rise to your feet, and let us close. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I'd like to pray with you, my friend, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I've been touched by the word of God. I know that God is speaking to me. Perhaps you're watching me. You've seen this reel somewhere on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, wherever. I want you to understand that God can reach out to you right where you are, because He's everywhere, because in Him we live and move and have our being. And all you need to do is to humble yourself this morning. I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Even in your room where you are, lift that hand up. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want all of us to pray this prayer together, if you don't mind. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I'll follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Help me, Lord, to stand strong and to remain rooted in Christ Jesus, no matter what comes my way. And in Jesus' name, have I prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say, amen. Would you like to give the Lord a big clap offering wherever you are?
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.